They're back, baby.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. 40 days ago, General Motors pulled into bankruptcy. This morning, they drove out. CEO Fritz Henderson told a Detroit news conference the new GM will make money and will repay its government loans faster than it's required to.
Our vision is clear, to design, build, and sell the best vehicles in the world, something that General Motors was known for many years ago, then something that we need to reestablish.
Besides, we're back in business. GM said it will cut its American salaried workforce by 20% this year, and it's partnering with eBay to try auctioning cars online. Analyst Doug Foreman at Highmark Capital says he's impressed by the speedy bankruptcy and how much debt GM has unloaded, but still, it's facing a world that is not buying cars.
And I think GM's going to need some wind at its back to pull off this turnaround that we're all looking for as taxpayers. They're not well enough positioned to take any massive market share or anything else.
The new General Motors will be majority owned by the government, and taxpayer assistance to the car industry does not stop there. There's also the new so-called cash for clunkers law, which gives people an incentive to trade in their old car for something more fuel efficient. Reporter Sally Herships wanted to know whether car dealers think this law will help.
Brian Benstock runs a Honda dealership in New York. He gives a thumbs down to the government's bailout of GM.
They didn't save a job. They didn't sell a car. They didn't save a dealer. They didn't save GM.
But he gives a thumbs up to the new Cash for Clunkers plan. Hundreds of dealers have closed over the last 18 months. Benstock sees this plan as a kind of stimulus for the entire industry.
Because dealers are spending additional money for advertising. Dealers are getting direct mail campaigns prepared. We're making arrangements with the salvage companies to take these other cars from us.
But not everyone's convinced Cash for Clunkers will be a runaway success. Cliff Banks works for Ward's Dealer Business, a magazine for car dealers.
One of the questions that some experts have and some dealers have is whether the customers driving the clunkers will be able to get financed by the banks.
Like so much of the rest of the economy, whether Cash for Clunkers works will depend on whether lenders can get on board. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Wall Street is ambivalent. The S&P 500 is down 0.3%. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down 0.5% or 44 points at 8,139. Major European stock markets are flat, and Asian stocks ended mixed today. Taxpayers rescued American banks, and a report out this morning concludes, so far, we're not getting enough in return. See, in exchange for the rescue, the government received entitlements to bank shares. These are called warrants. And when the banks repay the bailout money, they get to buy back those warrants. And whether taxpayers make money on that exchange, that depends on the price. This morning, a congressional oversight panel said in the case of the smaller banks, the Treasury Department's been setting the price too low and leaving taxpayers short. We're joined by the head of that oversight panel, Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren. Good morning.
Good morning.
Your report says if the Treasury Department uses the same pricing model with the huge banks as it has with the small ones, taxpayers could miss out on $2.7 billion. Why would Treasury leave that much money on the table?
Well, our job in the oversight panel is basically to make sure that they don't leave money on the table. But we also acknowledge that there are competing policy demands. And, you know, when you try to get out fast, that may change the price. The valuation process, I want to be clear, you know, it's not an exact science. Nonetheless, it is important to pay attention to the development of a fair market value and at least aim in that direction.
So you've released this report this morning. Now what happens with it?
Well, now Treasury, having made the decision to turn loose of these 10 large banks, continues the business of negotiating out the price that these banks will have to pay for the warrants in order to be able to get out of the TARP system. And whatever happens there will determine how much of the upside the American taxpayer gets for the rescue that it gave to at least some of the biggest financial institutions who at least seem to be doing better right now.
Harvard Law Professor Elizabeth Warren heads the Congressional Oversight Panel monitoring the Federal Bank Rescue Program. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.
Now, this update, J.P. Morgan Chase says this morning it thinks the government is asking too much for its warrants. It doesn't want to buy at that price, and it's asking Treasury to auction the warrants to investors.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
Australian officials plan to meet with a mining executive of the Anglo-Australian mining company Rio Tinto. He's being held by Chinese authorities. China accuses the manager of stealing state secrets relating to talks over iron ore prices. China has not revealed its evidence, but some are wondering whether this has something to do with a deal gone bad between Rio Tinto and a Chinese company. Reporter Tamara Keith has our story.
First, some really basic facts. Iron ore is a major ingredient in steel. China makes a lot of steel. Rio Tinto is a heavy hitter in the iron ore business. And there's been quite a soap opera brewing between Rio Tinto and Chinalco, a Chinese mining company. The two announced a partnership earlier this year where the state-owned Chinese company would take a significant stake in Rio Tinto. But that didn't go over very well in Australia. Last month, the deal fell through. Dan Eichelson is a trade policy expert at the Cato Institute.
It's what goes on in the business world. Some people take it personally. Some businesses take it personally. And I know the Chinese have taken this issue as a matter of national pride.
Chinese officials say the dead deal has nothing to do with the detention of the Rio Tinto employees. Right now, there are also heated negotiations to set iron ore prices for the coming year. And Eichelson says detaining employees is probably not the best way to breed goodwill. I'm Tamara Keith for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. The Nasdaq's up a little, but the Dow is down 41 points at 8,142. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Friday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.